This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio and La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. It's been said to keep a conversation polite, one is not supposed to discuss religion and politics. But the topics are too significant to ignore, especially how they relate to one another. An upcoming debate in La Crosse examines the relationship between religion and government. Can they be strictly separate? While some people feel passionate about this question, debate organizers are encouraging people to listen to the discussion with an open mind. The forum is being co-sponsored by the La Crosse Freethought Society. We'll hear from the debaters in a few minutes, but first, Hank Zumach helped form La Crosse's Freethought Society a few years ago. He recently explained to me what the organization is about.
The basic purpose of it is to provide a place, if you will, for the people in the community who do not have a belief in some sort of a deity. Historically, people who are agnostics, atheists, non-theists of one kind or another, have been very seriously discriminated against and isolated in communities. And there's been an assumption that there were very few people who held such beliefs. And as it turns out, there is a population that has the fastest growing growth in the theological circles is the non-believers. We're up to something in the vicinity of 20% nationally. Here in a community such as La Crosse, which is a very highly educated, highly professional group with the two universities plus the medical centers, the population of non-theistic people is probably up somewhere, I'm guessing, 25% or perhaps even higher than that.
So most of the major religions have been around for thousands of years. Why do you think it is in more recent times that less and less people are following religion?
For the simple reason that more and more people have become better educated. The strong belief in a god or spirits or ghosts, demons and so forth, is based on a system where you have no explanation for what's really going on. You don't understand why the sun rises every day or why the moon changes and so forth. Explanations were given to that, why there was sickness, why there was death and so forth. Now as science has been able to explain these things and more people have been able to attend school where fact-based descriptions are available. All these kinds of superstitions and so forth are no longer necessary, and they're recognized for what they are, which are superstitions and beliefs in fairies and so forth.
So even though there are less people following religions, do you think the stigma still follows those who are non-believers? And is it still strong?
There is a stigma because there are those people who still carry those prejudices and bigotry, as I think of them. I think an example that we can all relate to more easily is what the role of women in society. Going back some time ago, before women had the right to vote, and it was never considered the possibility that somebody such as yourself could be sitting in front of a microphone that was going to be heard, or that people could have women could have a role in management. Then moving on to racial discrimination in my lifetime, I cannot use the terminology that was used to describe people of color. And religion taught that slavery was an okay thing, and that some races were God's chosen races, and so forth. And now, more currently, we have what's happening in the LGBT community, where finally that kind of religious bigotry is being put forth for what it really is. And that now, as we understand more and more why there is a why certain people have homosexual perspectives, their discrimination against them is finally starting to be shattered. But again, we have religious teachings against homosexuals. We have religious teachings against females, and so forth. And those things are finally breaking down under the weight of education and facts.
So the La Crosse Free Thought Society, and you've decided that with this group you want to start some annual debates within the area. And this year, the debate is, can religion and government be strictly separate? I'm wondering if you can talk about why you've decided you want to have these discussions every year.
Well, I think, again, it's just a matter of information, that for those people who are interested in the general topics that we present, presenting them here at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, having a pro and a con speakers trying to explain and defend their different positions allows people in the audience to arrive at their own decisions as to these things. My own belief, and I'm confident of this, is that the more people who actually look at and hear or study some of these issues that we have presented will come to our side of the debate. The initial debate, as an example, was on the topic of whether or not the Bible is a reliable source of information. Professor Mark Chevalist from the History Department here was taking the position that it was. We had Dan Barker from the Freedom from Religion Foundation taking the opposite view. The next debate was on the basic question, does God exist? So in presenting these kinds of basic questions to a university audience or whoever else might want to attend, I think just informs the whole series of issues and provides for enlightenment.
Hank Zumach is co-founder of the La Crosse Free Thought Society. It's co-sponsoring a debate next week in La Crosse on religion and government. One of the debaters is Dan Barker, co-president of the Madison-based Freedom from Religion Foundation. I asked him if religion and government can be strictly separate.
Yes, religion and government can be strictly separate. If by government we mean people who are elected to office acting in their official capacity, government must be neutral, and religion is something that is private. The problem is that a lot of people don't see the difference between free speech and government speech. With free speech, we're all welcome to say whatever we want. But with government speech, the government must be neutral and must be strictly separate from religion, which isn't to say that elected officials don't have the freedom as private citizens to say whatever they want. So, yes, government and religion can be and should be strictly separate.
Why is it important keeping religion out of government?
A number of reasons. History shows us that when religion and government mix together, they both get dirty. Always someone's religion is predominant and someone else's religion is not. And so the outsiders, or the people who are not in the status quo in whatever country you're in, are made to feel like second-class citizens, not full participants in the political process. So if the government stays neutral, then we are all free to believe or disbelieve as we choose.
Is there ever room for crossover, whether government comes into religion or religion comes into government?
They should always be exclusive, and there's no room for official crossover. However, there has to be some accommodation. Obviously, if we think churches should be tax-exempt, which a lot of us don't think, but they are tax-exempt, well, then obviously the government and the IRS has to at least deal with the religions. They have to at least know, well, who's a religion and who isn't. There's going to be some entanglement. As long as the government's intention is not to promote or hinder religion, then there can be some dealings between the two for practical matters. For example, allowing for chaplains in the military. If the chaplains are viewed as an accommodation to the members of the military who those who do feel like they need it, well, then the government cannot be accused of promoting religion. However, many chaplains cross the line. Many of them take their position and use it to actively proselytize for their faith. So that is wrong. That's where government and religion should be strictly separate. That chaplain should hang their own personal proselytizing at the door when they're acting as a government person. So there are places, yes, where there is it's not a blurring, but it's just a practical necessity where religion and government must interact.
it seems that Christianity and other religions, but especially Christianity, has always played a role within the United States. Has this relationship always existed within the U.S., or does it become more amplified at times, the role that religion plays within government?
Well, technically, there is no role for religion to play within government, and there never has been, ever, within our founders, within our Constitution. But there is a role for religious people, as individuals, of course, to participate like anyone else in the political process. So religious people are going to be bringing their religious views with them to the governor's mansion or to the White House or to the principal's office, obviously, and some of them are going to act by what they think are religious principles. Of course, we hope they don't, because religious principles by themselves are not good. The humanistic principles that unite all of us, peace and joy and love and understanding, those are all very good things, and those are humanistic, basic, you know, human democratic process. So our country has never been religious in any sense, although many of the founders were religious in their personal views. It would be like saying, well, is there any role for racism and slavery in our government? Because many of the founders owned slaves. Is there any role for sexism in our government? Because most of the founders did not think women should vote. They had personal views, and some of them were deeply religious, but technically, there is no role for their private personal views on religion or racism or slavery or sexism or whatever to be played when they are acting as government officials.
And especially right now with the, you know, with a lot of people stepping up to take part in the 2012 presidential election, we're hearing from a lot of the GOP candidates, you know, where they stand on religious grounds. And how does that make you feel when you hear that talked about in these debates?
Yeah, well, it assumes that in order to be qualified to run for public office, you have to be religious in some way, which is a real slap to the millions of good Americans who are not religious, the atheists and the agnostics, which are the fastest growing segment of our population right now, while religion is shrinking, Christianity and Judaism and Islam's growing a tiny bit. But when politicians have to pander, pious pandering to the religious right in order to get votes, it makes it look like those of us who don't believe are just totally washed out of the system. Although there are atheists in the government, there are, someone tells us who's in Congress, that there are at least 20 atheists within Congress right now, and one of them is open. That's Pete Stark from California. And he got reelected, by the way, when he came out as an atheist. So it is possible, I think, someday for that to diminish, but a lot of politicians are afraid of the religious vote. You know, they think pastors and religious leaders have this power to command their congregations to all vote in lockstep on certain religious issues. So that's kind of scary, and that's kind of un-American and undemocratic. A politician should be running for everybody, not just for one particular religion.
I'm wondering, Dan, if you can talk about the role that the Internet has played in the religion and government debate.
The Internet's changed everything, and the Internet, I think, is partly responsible for the growth of non-belief in this country, because you can't hide. Facts are out there, and religious leaders can make their claims, but there's a huge crop of young people in the college age and 20-somethings right now. Huge. Some people are talking about the 30 under 30. About 30% of the under 30 demographic in the United States is non-religious. That is a huge change, where it's about 16% of the general population. And the atheist, agnostic, secular, skeptic groups are growing really, really fast, and the little fragmented religious groups are not. They, you know, it's the same old message. There's an excitement out there, philosophically and intellectually and morally and politically, to say, hey, the emperor has no clothes. We're going to think through this on our own without some authorities. So I think you're right. The Internet is playing a huge role in disseminating information.
Dan Barker is the co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He'll be participating in a debate next week in La Crosse on religion and government. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. I'm speaking with the debaters who next week will be posed with the question, can religion and government be strictly separate? Also speaking at the upcoming debate is Dr. Paul Helseth. He's a professor of Christian thought at Northwestern College in St. Paul, Minnesota. I asked Dr. Helseth if religion and government can be strictly separate.
I don't think so. I don't think so because I'm persuaded that the church should be involved in governing the country, but I'm persuaded that people are religious beings, and because people are religious beings, therefore, their religious inclinations, their religious commitments inform everything that they do in one way or another.
Some people argue that there should be a separation of church and state, and as you just said, people are religious beings, so why should there not be a separation of church and state, in your opinion?
Well, I would not equate the question of the relationship between church and state with the question of the relationship between religion and government. In my estimation, they're two distinct questions. I would be in favor of the separation of church and state, but I don't think that the separation of religion and government is possible.
I'm wondering if you can clarify that a little more.
Well, if it's true, and I think this is perhaps what much of the debate will center on, if it's true that people are religious beings, then it's not true that the only place you're going to find religious beings is in established churches. So I would suggest that to equate the church-state question with the religious government question is to, in a sense, beg the question of just what is religion and who is religious. I think that religious beings are found outside of institutional churches, and religious beings participate in government, and because they participate in government, their religious convictions have an impact on how they see, how they think, their policy proposals, and everything like that.
I'm wondering if you can maybe think about the history of the United States, and while maybe the Founding Fathers didn't necessarily want to incorporate religion into government, it has always been there in different ways. Do you think that religion within the U.S. government is amplified in certain years, or do you think it is something that has always been there and will always be there?
I don't claim to be an expert in the founding of the nation or
sure.
in the Constitution or anything like that, but my basic understanding is that religion has always played a role in the government in one way or another. And I would suspect that closer to the founding of the nation, it might have played a more prominent role than it currently does, if for no other reason than that we were a more homogeneous society 250 years ago. So perhaps it's right to say that the relationship between religion and government, or the question of the relationship between religion and government and what is the proper role for religion in the government, that question has been exacerbated by the pluralistic context that we find ourselves in. So what that suggests, it seems to me, is that the kind of debate that Mr. Barker and I are going to have is a good idea. We should talk about what it means, given the current cultural moment that we find ourselves living in.
And one of the more current events that's going on right now is we're seeing the GOP presidential hopefuls debating what almost seems like on a weekly basis. And a lot of the candidates are touting their religious background and saying that their Christian thoughts are kind of what lay a moral ground for them. I'm wondering if you can talk about the role that Christianity and religion plays in presidential candidates and what's going on right now with them.
Well, I don't know if I can speak specifically to that because I don't claim to be a presidential historian or anything like that, but I do think that it's entirely appropriate for anybody, whether on the right or the left, to make it clear what their religious convictions are and to emphasize or demonstrate how their religious convictions influence their views. If for no other reason, that will make for a more honest exchange of ideas when the time comes for having a debate or making policy proposals and trying to actually do the business of governing.
Do you think there's ever a moment when a politician or someone within government crosses a line that they have incorporated their religion too extremely in their thoughts and beliefs?
I imagine there is a line that can be crossed. Now, where precisely that line is, I think would in a sense depend upon the issue. Again, because I'm not persuaded that the separation of church and state question is precisely the same as the separation of religion and government question, I think it's a little bit, answering those kinds of questions is difficult because the boundaries are perhaps a bit more blurry. If a candidate is appealing to the confessional tradition, for example, that they grew up in, and that's the primary grounding for the proposal that they are offering, it seems that that could potentially be a problematic way of engaging in the public discussion.
Dr. Paul Helseth is a professor of Christian thought at Northwestern College in St. Paul. He'll be debating Freedom From Religion founders Dan Barker about whether religion and government can be strictly separate. The debate will be held Wednesday on the UW-La Crosse campus in Valhalla at the Cartwright Center. The discussion begins at 7 o'clock. Audience members will have the chance to ask the debaters questions and comment on ideas. The debate is being co-hosted by the La Crosse Freethought Society. Up in the next half hour, erasing the stigma of mental illness. Writer and journalist Kathy Cronkite visits La Crosse to talk about dealing with depression. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.